Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Eternal God and our loving Heavenly Father, we now commend this time of hearing thy word to thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou be pleased to use thy word, continue to use thy word in our lives, make it that living word. A word, Lord, that shall not return to thee void tonight, but might be blessed to the hearts of thy people and to those, Lord, who perhaps even tonight might become the people of God. Hear us, Father, grant us all grace tonight, we pray. And give to us, remind us, Father, of truths that perhaps we've heard in times past, perhaps many times, but also refresh them to us and give to us new and deeper understanding of them, fresh light upon them. In thy light, Father, may we see light. Lord, open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Give to us all grace now, we pray, to thy glory alone. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, our opening verse tonight is Psalm 148, and verse 5, taken both of our texts today from the Psalms, and the one this evening is almost towards the end of this book, Psalm 148 and verse 5, where we read, again, I don't know who the psalmist was, there's no title to this psalm, but he was certainly a servant of God and wrote these words. He was moved by the Holy Ghost to do so. This is God's word. He wrote, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created." So we start tonight with this single verse in this 148th Psalm, verse 5. And you can see that one of the things that the psalmist, whoever he was writing about here to his people and to people of all time afterwards, in this verse, that he was at least partly writing about creation. It's mentioned here about being created, about creation. He says, let them, he's referring to God's angels, all his angels, all his hosts, and not only the angelic hosts, but also the hosts in the heavenlies, in space, the sun, the moon, the stars of light, the heaven of heavens, the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise, so not only animate things, but inanimate too. Let them everything, let everything praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. There's a lot in that verse, a lot of different things. But one thing that I want to pick out tonight is that the psalmist who was writing about creation, and because these creatures were created by God, that was the reason why they were to praise him apart from anything else. He commanded and they were brought into being, these inanimate objects and animate ones too, the angels and all his heavenly host. So again, dear friends, I want us to concentrate tonight on this subject and theme of creation. Last Thursday evening, we were looking at evolution and showing how wrong that is, that's a complete lie. This morning, we were looking at theistic evolution, the way in which some people mix a belief in God with a belief in evolution. Tonight, though, we come to the positive. We come at last, praise God, to the scriptures, and we're able to positively teach the doctrine of creation. What is creation? Creation is this, that God created, my dear friends, the entire universe out of nothing. This is one way in which it's been described and defined. God created the entire universe out of nothing. It was originally very good, and he created it to glorify himself. And that's what we have backed up, isn't it, in so many verses of Scripture, not least that very first verse of the Bible, first verse of the Old Testament, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And as far as we're concerned as a church, as far as we're concerned as Christians, we should need nothing else that shows us the existence of God. God never argues his existence. It's always proclaimed and taken for granted. And that in the beginning he created all things. And we believe that he did so not by a process of evolution over many, many, many years, but in those 6 days of creation, right at the very beginning of time. Well, this evening, my dear friends, I want us to look together at this biblical, this scriptural doctrine of creation, and just make sure we know and believe the things that we ought to do concerning it, so that we can refute these other views, not only by knowing them and knowing how to argue with them, but by knowing our own truth about them. One of the greatest ways in which to shun error and to argue against error and defend the truth is to know the truth and to believe the truth, to know what you believe, and then you'll be able to answer false teachers and be able to refute false teaching. So let's look together at the doctrine of creation tonight from the scriptures. And I want us to look at four things. First of all, the person or the persons that created everything. And then to consider what he created. And then how he did it. And then finally, the purpose or the objective, why he created all things. So we should be listening to these things tonight. Again, this is very much a message for believers this evening. And we should be asking, is this what I believe concerning this, concerning creation? Have I got a biblical view of these things and a biblical appreciation of them? We should be indoctrinated in a right sense about all the doctrines of Scripture, not least this one about creation, which is under great attack, has been under attack all through history, but perhaps no more than today. And therefore we need to know the truth about this, and to marvel at it, to marvel at him who made all things. So first of all, Scripture teaches us about who it was that created all things. And Scripture teaches this, first of all, generally, and then it teaches it more specifically and particularly. Generally, Scripture tells us that the Almighty God, the Almighty Lord God, did this. The living, sovereign, and true God. The one God. The one Lord. That he did this, that God in general did this. And that the three persons of the Godhead, or the Holy Trinity, divided up the work in a sense. In that divine economy, as far as the creation of the world was concerned. But Scripture puts it like that, first of all, that God in general did this. And it's put like that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, for example. Many other examples. Just generally speaking, God said, let there be light, as he said many other things in those days of creation. And there was light. But he did it. God in general did it. The one and only true and living God. But then more particularly, we can say that each person of the Trinity had an involvement in this. Just like in other things in the Scripture, we see the Trinity working together and doing different things, but working together, cooperating with one another. We see this in creation. If we're Christians, we should not only be creationists, but because we believe in creation, we should be also Trinitarians. We believe in the Holy Trinity. We believe in the Godhead. We believe that the Father had a great role in this, that he was the primary agent in initiating the act of creation. He was the primary agent, the first one, if you like, in initiating the act of creation. So the Father had a great role in this. Planning it, he put it into execution. But also, not only the first person of the Trinity, but also the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, Jesus Christ, the Word. Also, he had a great hand in this in the beginning. God did this through him. He was the one by or through whom creation came about. He was the active agent carrying out the Father's directions and plans. The Father was the primary agent, but the Son, he did it through the Son, he did it by the Son. The Son was the active agent carrying out the Father's directions and plans. Listen to John chapter 1 and verse 3, that famous verse at the beginning of that fourth gospel, where John wrote, also under inspiration of course, all things were made by him. By who? By the Word. Who was the Word? Was the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. You think, my dear friends, this Christ, he's our Saviour. He's our Lord. This God is our God. And they created all things. The Father initiated it. The Son, he did it through the Son. He did it by the Son. This is how great our God and how great our Saviour is. He is the one who created all things. All things were made by him. Well, my dear friends, we might appreciate how great our God is and how great our Lord Jesus Christ is. Perhaps until we realise who he is and how great he is, we realise what a mighty sacrifice it was for him to come into this world and to suffer and bleed and die, to die, immortal dying on the cross to take away our sins. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's very clear, it is very categorical. Anything that was made by him. Anything that came into being was made by his hand or by the word of his power. And he upholds everything by the word of his power too. And then finally, the Spirit of God was involved also. He completed, filled, and gave life to God's creation. He had a governing, an overseeing, a preserving, and a sustaining function. Do we not read right at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1 and verse 2, that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And who was there? The Spirit of God was there, moving upon the face of the waters. He too was involved. So this is the one. These are the persons who made all things. Speaking generally, it was God. But it's all three persons of the Holy Trinity. And do you believe this evening, my dear friend, my dear brother and sister in Christ? Well, by grace you do. God has given you the faith not only to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, your own personal Lord and Saviour, but to believe in creation and that God did it. And the Father did it. He did it through his Son. And he did it also with the involvement of the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you should be a creationist, and you should be, well, you have to be, a Trinitarian. If you don't believe in creation, my dear friend, if you don't believe in the Trinity, well then, my dear friend, it's saying that you're really not a Christian. This is what a Christian believes, submits himself, shuts himself down to the clear revelation of God's word. So that is who created. Dear friends, what was it that he did create in the beginning? Again, we can move from the general to the particular, to the specific. Dear friends, our God, God in general and the Holy Trinity, the Godhead, created all things, the entire universe. So difficult for us. We can't grasp it, can we? We can't comprehend it. God has made us finite in our understanding. And we're dealing with things here that are infinite. Infinite space, just going on and on and on and on. Millions and millions, and that's the only millions we believe in. Millions and millions of miles, just keeping on going. God made all of this. How great he is. How great he is. This should inspire us, my dear friends, when we realise what a God we have, how great he is, how powerful he is to make all this and uphold it, to keep the stars in place, to keep the earth in place, the moon and the sun, wherever they are, to keep them all in place, upholding them by the word of his power. He created all things, or the entire universe. Listen to the apostle preaching to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17 and verse 24. I read from that passage a little bit earlier on. He says to them there, God. Again, he's not arguing here with them. He's declaring. That's what you and I are to do. Declare him as creator and declare him as saviour, the only saviour of the world. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. That's why Paul was so moved in spirit when he saw them committing idolatry, worshipping things made with hands, how ridiculous. When this is God, this almighty God, this infinite God, this eternal God, because he's made all things and made us, made them, he was the only one worthy of their worship, the one who was due glory and due their worship as their creator and as the only saviour of the world. My dear friends, he's made everything. And as Christians, we believe that. He's made all things. He's made the entire universe. But again, Scripture breaks it down, doesn't it? And tells us that he made the invisible heaven, sometimes called the heaven of heavens, or the third heaven, where he, in a sense, especially is, where his throne is, where he manifests his glory, where the angels are, where the fully redeemed are, where you and I one day are going to be through grace. And because Christ came to pay the penalty of our sins, you and I, if we're Christians, we're saved. That is where we're going, to the spiritual unseen realm of existence or universe, where the angels are, the unfallen angels, and other kinds of heavenly beings or creatures. He made the invisible heaven and everything that is in it. He also made the visible heavens. He made space. He made the sky. And that declares his glory. And in space he made the sun, the moon, the planets and the stars. And in the sky he brought forth the fowls of the air to fill the skies. He made all of these things. Listen to this lovely verse in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6. The Levites here are praying to the Lord. There's a number of them there named. And this is how they prayed. Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshippeth thee. What a wonderful prayer that was that they prayed. Such a certainty that they had. You can tell by the way that they're praying that these things really inspire them and strengthen them. And this should do the same for us when we realize what a God we have, my dear friends. What a creator, what a maker, what a sustainer, what a preserver, what a protector. What a God and Father we have as Christians who has adopted us into his family. This is our God. Behold your God and how big he is, how great and powerful he is. Trust him. Be anxious for nothing. This is your God who made all things. And the heavens, the three heavens, the invisible heavens, the heaven of heavens, space and sky and everything that is in them, filling them with his creatures. But also, of course, he made this earth or world and everything that is in it. All the many different kinds of animals and mammals. He made us in the beginning, human beings, the human race, right from Adam and Eve. Making men and women, making the mountains, the great and mighty mountains that he made and established and caused to stand fast. He made all the oceans and all the plants. He made this world and everything that is in it. In Psalm 90 and verse 2, towards the beginning of that psalm, is the psalm of Moses. Moses put it before like this, praying again to God before the mountains were brought forth. Or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Oh, he glorified God and praised God for who he was and is and always will be. The eternal God, one who was before the mountains were brought forth. Wherever thou hast formed the earth and the world, the maker of the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. We believe that too, don't we, as Christians? He made the whole universe. And he's made the invisible and visible heavens. He's made the visible world and earth in which we live, move and have our being. He's also made and sustains the oceans, the seas, the waters, the rivers, the streams, all of these things. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 24, when the early church is being persecuted, they turn to God and they comfort themselves in the knowledge of who he is and how powerful he is, and prayed. When they heard that, when they heard about, you know, the persecution that they were in danger of, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." What a God he is, how great, how powerful. He's made all of these things, such a variety. Some great things, some such big things, but also not even the God of things great, also the things, the God of the things that are small, things that are intricate, things that are microscopic. He's made all of these things. And what a privilege it is to know him. And to know him not only as creator, but as saviour and Lord of our lives and as our king. Do you know him like that, my dear friend? Not only that he's made you and your God in that sense, but in terms of his saving your soul by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, by his life and by his death upon the cross. You remembered your Creator in the days of your youth, and you have him not only as your Maker, but as your Master, the Saviour of the soul that he gave you on loan, and he will call back one day, maybe a saved soul and not an unsaved one. Then finally, he also, of course, created time. The succession of moments, one after another. When we speak, I'm quoting here, when we speak of God's existence before the creation of the world, we should not think of God as existing in an unending extension of time. Rather, God's eternity means that he has a different kind of existence, an existence without the passage of time, a kind of existence that is difficult for us even to imagine. Elihu in Job 36:26 said, "Behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out." God is eternal, and he is one who exists outside of time, because that is something that he himself created and made. And we're creatures of time, and therefore it's very difficult for us to understand his everlasting and eternal nature. What a wonderful God is this God. Oh, that he might be your God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his name. So as Christians, we believe these things concerning creation. Who did this in the beginning? What exactly he did? And we believe that he's holding it all up, my dear friends, by his invisible and almighty power. And then thirdly, Scripture also teaches us how he created these things, how he created the universe. And it becomes even more marvellous, doesn't it? When we think, how great a person, how great a being he is, that he made all of this out of nothing, as the Latin is. He made it ex nihilo, if I get the pronunciation right. He made it means out of nothing. That before he began to create the universe, nothing else existed except he himself. He didn't create it out of anything that is visible or seen, but out of something that was invisible and unseen. He didn't make it out of any previously existing matter or materials. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith. It's not only through faith that we're saved, but it's through faith we believe these things. Through faith we understand what the world doesn't understand, that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen, things that are visible, things that we see with our eyes that God has granted to us, were not made of things which do appear. He brought all of this out of nothing. He brought the visible out of the invisible in some miraculous, supernatural, and omnipotent, and all-powerful way. My dear friend, you need faith, don't you? Saving faith. You believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, to believe these things. Don't believe in creation. It says that it's really declaring and identifying you as an unbeliever. If you truly believe these things in your heart, not just persuaded by them intellectually, but in your heart, it shows, my dear friend, that you're a child of God, that you have a real saving faith. To believe these things, to believe in God, with whom nothing is impossible, but all things are possible. He made it out of nothing. Everything out of nothing. And he did it in 6 days. This is argued at length by the theologians, what this 6 days means, and I can't go into all the arguments for and against. My own personal view is, as you already know, that he made it in 6 days of 24 hours each. And if you don't believe that, my dear friend, I want to know why you don't believe that. Because if there is a God, there is, and if he's almighty, he didn't need to take all that time to do that. He could have done it a lot shorter time. He could have done it in a moment of time. But he's a God of order. And he did things in an orderly manner. One day after another, various things, according to his wisdom, according to his knowledge, he brought these things into being in 6 days, 24 hours, and then on the seventh day he rested and saw that it was good, all very good. One of the arguments to show that it was 6 days of 24 hours each, of course, is taken from a verse like Genesis 1:5. God called the light day, the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. That is how, in the Hebrew and amongst the Hebrews, they'd have described a day, not morning to evening, but evening to morning. And it does it not show and prove and give evidence that that day was a day as we understand it, a day of 24 hours, with an evening, with a morning, or with a morning and an evening. We believe that as Christians. We have no problem with that at all. We accept that because, my dear friends, once you're in the kingdom of God, you know, nothing's impossible with him. He could have done it in a far shorter period of time. And in the beginning, before the fall and before sin came into the world, he created it very good. In other words, on that seventh day, not because he was tired, but because it was finished, he rested from his creating work and, as it were, stepped back, looked upon it, surveyed it, observed it, which is why, my dear friends, you and I, when we make and create something, we look upon it and we take pleasure in it, because that is how God has made us, because we're like him in that respect. On those 6 days, he looked at these things and he took a complacent pleasure and enjoyment and delight in those things that he'd made. Sin, of course, spoiled it all. But as far as what he actually made is concerned, there's nothing wrong or evil about the world in that sense. These are things that he has made. And there are certain things, therefore, in this world that we can take pleasure in. The views that we can see, the things that he's made, we can look at them and see, well, they're absolutely beautiful and they declare something of God's glory and power. So he made the world out of nothing in 6 days and he created it very good. Finally, why did he do this? What was the purpose? What was the reason? My dear friends, he did all this to declare and show his glory. Not only that these things may glorify him, those things that he created and made, but also that through them he might declare his glory to the world, and especially to you and to me. That's what the heavens do. They declare his glory to us. They show us just how great a God he is. The revelation of creation and of the natural realm, my dear friends, won't save you. Leave you without excuse in the day of judgment, but it's not going to tell you about the way of salvation. For that, you've got to come to special revelation, you've got to come to the scriptures, and you've got to come to the message of the gospel. But there is enough in nature the testimony of God in nature, to leave you without excuse in the day of judgment. But I say to be saved, what you need to know is that the person through whom the Father made all things so loved you is called. In spite of your sin and rebellion against him, your fallenness and rebellion, that Creator came into the world in which he made, came in the likeness of sinful flesh, came incarnate into this world, lived a perfect life in your place, and then died to take away and to pay for your sins upon the cross, going through such pain, such agony for you, bearing the punishment according to God's holy law, his Father's wrath coming upon him, in order that God didn't spare his Son, as we saw the other Sunday. He spared him nothing in order to save us, but delivered him up to death, even the death of the cross, for his people, that if you believe in him, you might be spared the wrath to come. Think what it would be like, my dear friend, one day, if you come before a God like this, in the day of judgment, in all of your sins, and this God begins to truly reveal to you his righteous indignation and wrath for your sin. I don't want to be outside of Christ in that day. I don't want to be on his left hand. I don't want to be unsaved in that day and still be in my sins and go to eternal perdition. Rather, my dear friend, you need to be saved now, that when you come before him, you might be spared. You might be safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only place to be in that day of judgment, to be in Jesus Christ and to be safe and secure in him. So God created the universe to show his glory, to show his own glory, his excellence, his glory, his honours. We have in Psalm 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. That's why he made it, my dear friends, to reveal his glory, and also that we might glorify him. Of course, through sin and the fall, we don't. We don't enjoy and glorify him forever. But that's why Christ came, to do that work of redemption, to redeem us, to reconcile us to the Father, that coming to know him again, being saved, we may once again come to know God and enjoy him and glorify him forever, and to look forward to seeing this God, and to seeing his Son, and the glory of his Son, and glorifying him forever and forever in heaven, in those third heavens, in our intermediate state, in a new heaven and a new earth, in our final state. Oh, what things you and I have to look forward to, seeing God, and being with him, and being like him forever. So our Bibles teach us these things about creation. That all of the three persons of the Godhead of the Trinity were involved in it, actively involved in it. They teach us that they created all of it, every single part of it, out of nothing, in 6 days of 24 hours, very good before the fall. And that they created it to show their glory, and that their creation and creatures might glorify him, might glorify them. Are you doing that? The very reason why God made you. What you've not done before you were converted, before you became a Christian, but now if you become a Christian, you're living your life to the glory of whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, you're doing it to the glory of God. Let us live to him, serve him, for this reason, all of our days, until we can look forward to being in his eternal house forever.